Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Two U.S. Army helicopters on a training flight collided in Alaska yesterday, leaving three soldiers dead and a fourth injured. A spokesman for the U.S. Army Alaska, John Pennell, is reporting each of the AH-64 Apache helicopters involved in the crash were carrying two people. The crash happened near Healy, Alaska, while returning to Fort Wainwright near Fairbanks. Healy, Alaska is roughly 250 miles north of Anchorage. Cleanup crews are responding after a tornado swept through Florida last night.
A tornado warning stretched across multiple counties and one touchdown in Hosford. Dozens of buildings and homes were destroyed and every resident in Hosford lost power. A severe weather threat is still in effect across most of Florida and parts of southern Georgia. The National Weather Service predicts severe storms to continue to progress east-southeast across the Big Bend area today. I'm Skip Kelly.
Russia has launched a wave of airstrikes this morning against cities across Ukraine, including Kyiv, leaving at least 12 people dead. Ukrainian President Zelensky said the apartment block was among 10 residential buildings that were attacked and shows further international action is needed to be taken against invading Russia. Chinese authorities have done an about-face after launching an open-for-business message to global investors. In the past several weeks, reports from the area to the Wall Street Journal say Chinese authorities have questioned staff at consulting firm Bain & Company's Shanghai office in a surprise visit, launched a cybersecurity review of imports from chipmaker Micron Technologies, detained an employee of Japanese drug maker Astellas Pharma, and raided the Beijing office of U.S. due diligence company Minsk Group. Today is National Arbor Day. Broadleaf, evergreen, conifer. How well do you really know your trees? This is USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
A pair of Russian comedians apparently pulled off a prank against the chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell reportedly gave an interview to a Russian comedy duo pretending to be Ukrainian President Zelensky in a fake Russian TV broadcast. The central bank confirmed that Powell fell for the pair in January. The BBC reports clips circulating the internet show Powell talking about an intense economic slowdown after the bank tried to calm price increases. A spokesperson for the Fed told The Hill that it was a friendly conversation and no sensitive or confidential matters were talked about. I'm Ryan Daniels.
Former Vice President Mike Pence testified yesterday before a grand jury investigating January 6. This is the first time in modern political era that a vice president has given testimony in an investigation on a president they served alongside. Smith was appointed by Attorney General Merrick Garland last year to investigate Trump in multiple cases. Trump is campaigning for president again in the key early voting state of New Hampshire.
During his rally speech in Manchester, Trump railed against President Biden.
Next year, we're going to make history together when we win New Hampshire primary for the third straight time.
He added, calling Biden grossly incompetent and a threat to democracy. He said the 2024 presidential election will be a choice between strength and weakness. I'm Dave Collins.
Thanks for listening. Lance Pry, USA News.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again.
Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. That's 800-823-9853.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Six minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez with you. Good to have you with us. And we've got Mark David Hall with us. He's an expert on whether or not Christianity is responsible for hatred, transphobia, racism in America. His latest book, Proclaim Liberty Throughout All the Land, How Christianity Has Advanced Freedom and Equality for All Americans, is just being released. And we're glad to have him here to talk about it. Mark David Hall, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks so much, Bill.
Okay, so why proclaim liberty throughout all the land?
Well, as you suggested, there's a powerful narrative out there that Christianity has primarily been a regressive force throughout American history, from the 1619 Project and its emphasis on the introduction of slavery to British North America, through too many works on the American founding, on up through the 19th, 20th century, scholar after scholar, popular author after popular author has said that Christianity has been a force for repression, for holding down racial minorities and women, keeping people in poverty. And I admit, I recognize that some Christians have appealed to the Bible to, for instance, defend slavery. We have to recognize that. But I argue that on balance, Christianity and Christians motivated by the Christian convictions have been a force for good throughout American history.
Yeah, Mark, the attack on Christianity is clear. I mean, you know, and this is what people need to understand. There are forces that want Christianity out of the playing field, out of the culture altogether, as if they have a better idea. And we know culturally from history that that doesn't bode well. In fact, we even have evidence of the current result of what it is to turn your back on God. We're seeing the manifestation in the streets of America today, are we not?
No, I think that's exactly right. In my book, I focus on the United States of America, but if we look throughout history, let's say just in the 20th century, what we see is an atheistic regimes and regimes under communism. We see some of the grossest violations of human rights that we've ever seen, wholesale slaughter. And I think some of this is coming home to roost in Western Europe and in the United States of America as more and more Americans turn from God and embrace nihilism. You're exactly right. We're seeing rioting in the streets. We're seeing mutilating surgeries on children and all sorts of manifestations of evil. Fortunately, we do have plenty of Christians, especially in America, that remain involved in politics that are fighting to combat these evils.
Yeah, and it is a tough battle. And God bless people of faith. We know, Mark, that, you know, we have this discussion all the time whenever we talk about people of faith being involved in politics. This idea that church and state, you know, shouldn't coincide. They should be separate. is a big lie that comes from the pit of hell, in my humble opinion. Because when you look back in the history of this great country of ours, it started with the church. Without the church, you don't have the great American idea, do you?
No, that's exactly right. I've really come to detest this phrase, separation of church and state, mm-hmm. because it can mean so many different things. I think a thoroughly Orthodox Christian can embrace a good manifestation of it. The church and state are separate institutions that ought not to be the same. The church ought not to be the state ought not to be the church. Mm-hmm. That's fair, fine enough. But it also can be used to say church. There's a wall of separation between church and state, and therefore Christians cannot enter the public square and advocate, let's say, for the elimination of slavery or the elimination of Jim Crow legislation based on their Christian convictions. And if that's what we mean by the separation of church and state, it's a horrible idea, and we have to reject it. And thank goodness the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and other civil rights leaders rejected that approach to the separation of church and state.
Exactly. Well, going back a little bit earlier, I mean, the pilgrims were leaving a country and countries where the church was such a force that it really violated the God-given freedoms that we knew by conscience existed. And this was the rub, was it not?
No, that's exactly right. So the Protestant Reformation had arrived in England, but the Puritans wanted to thoroughly purify the English church, and they met a lot of resistance. And so eventually a little band that we usually refer to as the Pilgrims went to Holland and then came to Massachusetts Bay, and they were followed by waves of Puritans who more or less gave up on purifying the English church, and they came over to America to create what they considered to be biblically informed institutions, political institutions, societal institutions, and New England flourished. New England adopted the most Republican forms of government the world had ever seen, the rule of law. They revised criminal statutes in a way that is clearly progressive in the best sense of that word. They did have some policies that seem somewhat repressive to 21st century Americans, but by any measure, they were far and away ahead of anywhere else in the world in embracing religious liberty, liberty in general, and equality for all.
Well, I would dare say, Mark, that even though, you know, you can look back a couple hundred years and say, wow, that was a bit repressive, but the redeeming aspect of the Christian faith was the redemption of those issues, that there was a way to work through them by the grace of God, and they did so. They were able to correct course, whereas today, by comparison, it seems that ideology gets so fixed that there's no reformation, there's no renewal. It is just full speed ahead, and forget about everything else and forget about the damage that's done.
I agree with that 100%. It's a great example of what you're talking about, and a major theme of my book is religious liberty. The Puritans, in all honesty, did not embrace a robust enough understanding of religious liberty. You know, again, they embraced a more robust understanding than what you could find anywhere else in the world. But throughout the 18th century into the 19th and 20th century, the Christians in America came to appreciate the necessity of religious liberty for all. And we embraced a much more robust understanding of religious liberty, one that protects Protestants and Catholics and Jews and Muslims and all Americans. Unfortunately, what we've seen over the last really two decades, maybe three decades, is progressive. The political left has turned against religious liberty for ideological reasons. And so if you have a wedding professional, a baker or a florist who has a religious conviction that he or she can't participate in the same-sex wedding ceremony, the left says, too bad with that person. We have to drive them out of business. We have to find them out of existence. There can be no pluralism in America, even though in all these cases there are abundant ways in which any same-sex couple can get custom-made flowers, custom-baked cakes. It's just the horrible form of liberalism that we should be on the forefront of combating.
Well, we've got to find a way to address this and find a way in the name of Jesus to accommodate this. I mean, we have the recent report in Minneapolis, for example, where they're having the call to prayer in Minneapolis. I mean, it's five times a day. from 7 in the morning till 10 at night, you were here, the call for prayer. And I think it's going to be a bit of a challenge, you know, for non-Muslims to hear that.
You know, maybe, but I think one of the things we lack in America is fortitude. And I think we have to be willing to put up with things we don't like. As long as these mosques are following general, neutrally applicable noise ordinances, that sort of thing, Christians who might not want to hear the call for prayer simply have to put up with it.
And without a doubt. Got to go to break. More from Mark David Hall after this.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Would you like to hear better for as little as 10 cents a day? Now you can with the all-new Audion hearing aids. The average hearing aid lasts about 3 years. Ours, at only $99 a pair, means you're paying as little as 10 cents a day to hear better. And to make things even better, we'll give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Skip the doctor and get hearing aids delivered straight to your door. We've eliminated all the middlemen to offer you a factory direct price of only $99 a pair. Join over 300,000 people just like you who took advantage of our 45-day trial offer. Now you can hear better too for just 10 cents a day. Call now and order your $99 pair of Audion hearing aids with a 45-day money-back guarantee. Plus, get free 3 to 5 day shipping.
800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. That's 800-577-5319.
Fresh Christian independent we are, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're back with you. I'm Bill Martinez. He's Mark David Hall, the Herbert Hoover Distinguished Professor of Politics at George Fox University, Associated Faculty at the Center for the Study of Law and Religion at Emory University, and a Senior Fellow at Baylor University's Institute for Studies of Religion. Mark, I'm glad you addressed the issue of the call for prayer, because I think that... you know, when I first heard about it, I said, well, maybe that will be a reminder for Christians 5 days, five times a day to pray.
Absolutely. And, you know, please, when I'm adamant in defending religious liberty for all people, including people who embrace what I consider to be false religions. But that doesn't mean I'm a relativist. I will share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. And I will pray that Muslims and Jews and Sikhs and Hindus convert to Christianity. And I think I praise the Lord that we live in a country where we have freedom of speech. We have the freedom to attempt to convince people of the truth, as opposed to so many nations, maybe the vast majority of the world, where you don't have that sort of freedom.
Mark, give us a few minutes and remind people of the force for good that Christianity has been here in the United States, lest we forget this rich history.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. Let me push back against the 1619 Project, which is so fundamentally flawed and which is finding a way into schools. The 1619 Project says, of course, that slavery and then racism pretty much informs all of American history, and really our founding date should be 1619 and not 1776. I have a couple of chapters that I hope just absolutely repudiate this notion. I have a chapter on the founders and slavery where I point out, first of all, that many founders never owned slaves. Some who did freed them voluntarily. And literally every founder, or close to every founder in the late 18th century, recognized that slavery was an evil. And even those who did not free their slaves, like a Thomas Jefferson, took significant steps to put slavery on the road to extinction. We see slavery being either eliminated or put on the road to extinction in 8 states. The Northwest Ordinance prohibited its spread into the Northwest Territories. Many specific concrete steps were taken to end slavery, and yet you would have no idea that this is the case from the 1619 Project. The founders did not succeed in ending slavery. The cotton gin gave slavery a new lease on life in the 19th century. Eventually, some Americans, especially in the South, came to defend slavery as a positive good, and yet Christians remained in the battle. The abolitionists, almost all of whom were Christians, motivated by their theological convictions, by their biblical convictions, fought slavery at great cost to themselves.
Exactly.
And it is impossible to explain their activity in terms of self-interest. They just cared about the least of these, and they fought for their freedom.
Yeah, and the fact that, which people are so quick to ignore, you had 600,000 casualties in the Civil War in order to free the slaves. But let's not talk about them, right? Because they weren't all black that died. Most of them, the majority clearly, were white.
No, you know, I think that's exactly right. And it's a shame. And it's a failure of our constitutional system that we had to end slavery through a bloody civil war. As I pointed out earlier, slavery was basically ended in 8 states voluntarily. We kept the slavery from expanding into the Northwest Territory. It was ended in other nations, such as Brazil, without a bloody civil war. Part of the reason I think we ended up doing that is because of the inflamed rhetoric on both sides.
Yes.
And that's maybe a lesson for today. Even as we oppose, say, for instance, abortion, we make a full frontal assault on abortion, but still we should watch our rhetoric. We shouldn't use inflammatory rhetoric, and we certainly shouldn't engage in violence like John Brown did with his raid on Harper's Ferry, and as some people did in the 90s with assassinating abortion doctors and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's ways in which Christians can be active politically in productive ways and in ways that don't inflame violent passions.
Can we learn from what England did? They were able to eradicate slavery, and they didn't have to be subjected to a civil war.
No, I think that's right. William Wilberforce, of course, is a great exemplar in this respect.
Yes.
And he just spent his entire career fighting against the international slave trade and then eventually ending slavery throughout the British Empire. And that was a tedious process. And I think American Christians have seen a little bit of the taste of this in our 50-year opposition to Roe versus Wade. And thank goodness that horrible decision was finally overturned. And yet the battle continues, right?
Yes, exactly.
All the Dobbs decision did is turn the issue of abortion over to the states. And so now Christians have an obligation to be involved in state politics, attempting to end this horrific practice. And doing so, again, I think Wilberforce might have an example. All of us, you know, I would like to think all of you and your listeners would like to end virtually all abortions, period. Maybe exceptions for the life of mother. But what is politically feasible? You know, maybe in a lot of states, the best we can do for now is limit abortions after, before 15 weeks. Maybe we can lower that to 6. Politics is the art of the possible. We need to find ways to negotiate and actually win legislative battles instead of holding out the ideal end point and then being defeated, as we saw so often, unfortunately, in 2022.
Well, another important issue that is, I think, overwhelming the culture to a degree here is the issue of LGBTQ, Christianity is oppressing women. We've got drag queen story hours, that are taking place, men competing against women. The cultural impact that this is having is very disturbing. What is your counsel on this?
I'm disturbed as well. I only have a paragraph on that in my book, so it's not a major concern of this book. But I very much admire Ryan Anderson and other leaders who have been challenging this transgendered ideology. And I think, again, we might focus on the battles that we're most likely to win. I think many, many, many parents, including parents that aren't on the right politically, understand that it's utterly ridiculous to allow biological men to compete against women in college sports and high school sports. It ruins sports for women, and we can make natural alliances with them and get, that sort of thing limited. I think the idea that we will give mutilating surgeries or hormone blockers to children who otherwise can barely do anything, right? They can't buy beer, they can't buy cigarettes, and yet they can only get mutilating surgeries. I think most Americans can recognize this is insane. And so by focusing on issues like this, where we can get a broad coalition to restrict these sorts of activities, is the way to go, and at least for now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mark, what was it like for you to serve as an expert witness in the Bernal Stutzman case, the florist who couldn't participate in a same-sex wedding?
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. It was amazing for a couple of reasons. First of all, what a moral exemplar. Here is a loving woman who actually served a same-sex couple, routinely, something like $4,500 worth of business. The one thing they asked her to do that she had a religious conviction that she couldn't do was participate in their same-sex wedding ceremony. In the world of adults, that would have been the end of it. I mean, she was very kind. She hugged them. She sent them to three other florist that could provide flowers for them. So in the world of adults, that would be the end of it, right? And yet,
right,
the ACLU got involved, the Attorney General got involved, and basically they said this grandmother cannot be allowed to have this conviction. We'll force her out of business or force her to serve this couple. And it was just utterly ridiculous. Fortunately, she's had some great legal defense. She ended up losing at the Washington State Supreme Court, but you had the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, and then, of course, this summer we'll hear the result of the 303 Creative case, where hopefully the U.S. Supreme Court will come out and recognize that people have really both the free exercise of religion right as well as the freedom of speech right to not be compelled to communicate messages to which they have sincere religious or, I'd say, broadly conscious exemption. So it was wonderful to be involved in that litigation. The result of that case was disappointing, but thank goodness for groups like the Alliance Defending Freedom, First Liberty, Beckett, that are just in the courtrooms every day
fighting
for religious liberty for all.
Well, as a Christian, if you want to know how to address your faith in the public square, and if you have the same question I have, is that is it too late for the United States to preserve religious liberty? You will find these answers and be encouraged in this new book, Proclaim Liberty Throughout All the Land, How Christianity Has Advanced Freedom and Equality for All Americans. Mark David Hall, the author, and of course the book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Mark, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Take care.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
USA News Update. For unknown reasons at this hour, two U.S. Army helicopters collided and crashed yesterday in Alaska while returning from a training flight, killing three of the four airmen soldiers. Two of the soldiers died at the scene near Healy, Alaska, 250 miles north of Anchorage, and a third died on the way to the hospital in Fairbanks. A fourth soldier is being treated at a hospital for injuries, and the extent of his injuries are unknown. The name of those killed were being withheld pending notification. Two bills restricting abortion in South Carolina and Nebraska both failed to pass. A near-total abortion ban failed to pass in South Carolina's Senate by a 22-21 vote, marking the third time such a measure hasn't passed in a GOP-led chamber since the Supreme Court overturned Roe last year. Today is officially National Superhero Day. It's time to get out your cape and celebrate. Lance Pry, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey, we're back with you. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, you need to check it out, BillMartinezShow.com. Dr. John Lott is back with us to talk about his recent experience in having a discussion with the Texas House Select Committee on Community Safety and the new bill that they're proposing, HB 2744, and the age-old question: every time there is a shooting, we find ourselves back in this place again, and the reason we find this back, you know, that we find ourselves coming back to the same spot is because we really don't answer the question. We've got answers here, but, you know, for the sake of politics and a lot of emotions and everything else, it seems that we just cannot seem to accept the empirical data here, which is quite clear. The bottom line is that when we protect, we think we're protecting areas by citing that there are gun-free zones. And the data will tell you quite clearly these gun-free zones become primary targets of these radicals with their manifestos and their desire to get, I guess, their last 15 minutes of fame as they go out in a blaze of glory, so to speak. Dr. John Lott is with us now. John, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Great to talk to you again, Bill.
Always appreciate this time because we've got to offset this emotional narrative. We understand why people are emotional. I mean, if you're a politician, John, you've got parents that are brokenhearted right before you and saying, "Can you please do something about this?" But I think part of the problem is that there's only so much that we can do because in the hearts of men reside things that are beyond our pay grade.
I mean, look, before I testified on this bill, they had about an hour and a half of testimony for relatives who had lost children at the Uvalde Elementary School. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty gut-wrenching. I mean, anybody's heart would go out to them. Mine surely did, yes, for what they had to go through. And they kept on calling that something had to be done over and over again. And I agree. Their solution, though, for this particular bill was to raise the age that people could be able to go and own guns to 21. And, there are lots of problems with it, but one of the problems is you focus on something bad that happened, in this case, with an 18-year-old who committed the murders there. And you don't look at what you're losing. You don't look at people who are 18, 19, and 20 years old who have stopped crime, who have been able to protect themselves or other things. And,
right,
and the question is, what's the net effect that you're going to have there? Many times people will go and say, well, if you can only save one life by going and banning gun possession up until somebody turns 21. But, women get stalked, other things that happen, 20-year-old women get stalked and threatened. And so, it makes as much sense as me saying if you can save one life by not raising it, you shouldn't raise it. The question is, what's the net effect?
Yeah, exactly. And what are the consequences? Right. Go ahead.
And, unfortunately, I don't think many of the witnesses on the other side were open to that discussion, and surely some of the members of the committee weren't either.
When you are in such desperate pain, John, it's got to be near impossible to think about these other things. I don't blame the parents for saying, do something. Well, you see, this is a cry for leadership, to be able to cast a vision, just the way you've kind of laid it out, is saying, here's the facts, here's what we got, and let's consider the consequences, because like anything, it's like a balloon. You push on a balloon on one side, well, you don't lose any air, you just shift the air to the other side, right? And it's a little bit of this kind of situation, is that we don't want to find ourselves with, that kind of logic where we're pushing on one side and now you think you've modified the consequences, but whoop, on the other side, here's the consequences. The air still goes, yeah, to the other side. So we really didn't resolve it, but we did something, right? I mean, for the sake of my broken heart and my emotions and my despair, we did something. But did we do the right thing, right?
Well, I want to do something. I want to do something, but I want to do something that actually matters in terms,
right,
of reducing the rate of these attacks. And what I tried to get across in my testimony, I mean, I could have just focused only on the 21-year-old age restriction that the bill was dealing with, but I decided to go and use my time in the testimony to go and talk about what I think would really help. And what I was talking about is, look, you got to read the diaries and manifestos for these,
exactly,
mass murders.
Mm-hmm.
The media just refuses, just absolutely refuses to go and talk about these parts of these manifestos and diaries where these mass murderers explain why they picked the target that they did. And over and over and over again, I mean, these guys may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. Their goal is to commit suicide, but they want to go and get a lot of media coverage, and they know so that people will know that they were here. I mean, time after time, you see things like, if I can only kill more people than such and such did, I can get even more media attention. And they know that the more people they kill, the more media attention that they're going to get. And so they explain many times why they picked the target that they did, because they want to go to a place where their victims are defenseless, where their victims won't have permanent concealed handguns. I mean, you look
exactly.
at even recent cases like the Nashville mass murder. According to the police chief, I mean, the Biden administration has seized the manifesto and won't release it.
Why is this, John? I mean, you know, and I know you're going to get to this point here that substantiates what you were just saying, but that's the question that people have is going, why is the Biden administration withholding the manifesto that was supposed to have been released, what, weeks ago?
Yeah, well, I mean, after other mass murders, the manifesto's released instantly, or it's already out, or, you know, surely within like 24 hours or so. I've never seen a case where the manifesto has been held up now for almost a month after the attack. And, you know, I think it's pretty clear, you know, there's something in there that maybe because this person was a trans
right.
type person, or whatever, that goes against the narrative that the Biden administration wants to go and push on all this. You know, I think it's really unfortunate that, you know, if I'm wrong, you know, then they should explain why they're doing it. But
but this is what happens, though, John. See, this is why I'm so grateful for you, and I'm grateful for our relationship, because you bring the facts. We often say that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And so what's happening, case in point, with the manifesto, is because we don't have the fact, then opinions circulate. And it's just an exercise in futility, especially when you've got the manifesto there. Now, what you started to say, and we went, you know, we made a hard right turn here, was that the person was already said to, we're talking the person that did the killings. The police chief had indicated. Go ahead and explain.
Well, the police chief made it very clear that he had read it, and he said that this mass murderer originally had another target that they were going after, but because of armed security, they switched to going after the school, the armed security that was at the original target.
Yeah. John, why is the mainstream media avoiding the obvious here?
Well, I think it doesn't fit their agenda, unfortunately.
Well,
I mean, I think that they, I mean, look, it's just not the Nashville one. It's like
right.
time after time after time.
Got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hey, we're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, continues, the author of Gun Control Myths. And we're talking about his latest committee hearing at the Texas House Select Committee on Community Safety. And before the break, John was talking about the mainstream media and why, in my humble opinion, it's a dereliction of duty. Because, you know, we all want to do something about this, as much as would count on any one of us. What can we do? What's the smart thing to do in understanding the complexity of our Second Amendment right, understanding what would happen if we limit said freedom, because then it isn't freedom any longer. And there's a reason why the Second Amendment it's even interesting, John, to consider that next to freedom of the press, we have the ability to defend ourselves with the Second Amendment. I mean, these are the one, two punches, you can say, immediate of our Bill of Rights, right?
Yeah, look, time after time, these mass murderers explain why they picked the target that they did, and the media just refuses to cover that. I want someone to explain to me, to provide a benign explanation for why the media refuses to go and cover the fact that these mass murderers purposely pick targets where they know their victims are defenseless, where their victims are unarmed, where they don't have concealed carry permits. But you look at the Nashville case that we just had. you will not find any mention in the New York Times or the Washington Post or ABC, NBC, CBS, anybody about that point, that statement from the Nashville police chief. I was able to get Fox finally last week, weeks after the attack, to go and run a news story where they mentioned it, but on their website. But it still hasn't been mentioned on air for them. And you know, and it matters. I mean, it affects people's views if they never hear. My guess is the whole gun control debate would be very different right now. If they would mention, once in a while, we've had yet another mass murderer who explained that he picked this particular place because he wanted to go to a place where victims couldn't defend themselves. Mm-hmm. And so he picked this place because he knew he could kill more people.
Exactly.
If the victims didn't have permanent concealed handguns. But, you know, it's just not this guy, this person, you have... the Louisville Bank case clearly picked a gun-free zone. You have place attacks like last year with the Buffalo mass murderer, and his manifesto explained that he wanted to go and attack a place where his victims didn't have permanent concealed handguns because it would make it more difficult for him to go and kill more people. So, you know, and if you go to our website at crimeresearch.org, and we have a post up at the top that lists many of these cases, and I just want to know. I want somebody to provide me a benign explanation for why the media, why isn't it newsworthy? Why is it newsworthy? Why these individuals explain why they picked the target? Now they may go and claim, well, these people are wrong in some sense, but if this is what's guiding them, look. I'd rather have a sign in front of these schools, like in Nashville, that says, rather than this is a gun-free zone, I'd rather have a sign that says, warning, select teachers and staff at this school will carry a permanent concealed handgun and will use them to protect the students and others who are here.
Exactly. I mean, homeowners have signs out front that their property is protected by some, you know, some service, right?
Smith and Wesson, by
right.
Smith and Wesson, or something like that.
Exactly. But John, let me ask you this, John. Of all the attacks that have happened in the school, has there been a report of any single attack where a school that has had armed teachers or guards on property, has any one of those schools ever been attacked?
And the answer is no. And that's one of the things I try to get across to them, that we have literally thousands of schools in the United States that have armed teachers in 20 states, in a couple states, in Utah and New Hampshire. Any teacher who has a permanent concealed handgun can take it in with them at work. Our staff member, you're talking about maybe 10% of the staff in Utah carry permanent concealed handguns with them. Maybe about 5 or 6% of the teachers do regularly.
Right.
You know, and then in the other states, it's up to the school board or superintendent, depending upon the state law. But you have almost 40% of the schools in Texas have armed teachers. Similarly, in Oklahoma, in Ohio, you know, you have large numbers of them. And there have been plenty of attacks, but there's not been one attack that's occurred where anybody's been wounded or killed at any of the schools that have armed teachers during school hours.
Well, you and I are going to print up those signs, John. You and I are going to print out these signs. We're going to give out to schools that have coverage like this so that they're you know, around the perimeter of a school. So anybody who would want to you know, threaten and come in and do injury to any of the students, they'd be forewarned. And I like the idea, in as much as that sadly, this is the reality of today's world, is that we have to have armed teachers or, you know, some other force that's going to protect retired military personnel, perhaps even. But the key thing here is that they not be in uniform, as you mentioned, to the committee. Because if it's only a uniformed person that has a gun, well, then the shooter knows who to target, right?
Right. Yeah, well, I tried to explain. Look, we have air marshals on plane. Mm-hmm. Who wants to make sure that the air marshals are in uniform? Do you think that would be a good idea? I mean, nobody wants to do that. And it's obvious why. Because if there happen to be terrorists on a plane, the uniformed armed marshal, air marshal, would be the first person they would take out. And the same thing is true with putting one of these officers in schools. Mm-hmm. Governor Bill Lee, the governor for Tennessee, you know, bless his heart, he wants to do something about it. His goal is to put one uniformed school resource officer in every public and private school in the state. He has a budget proposal for like $200 million mm-hmm. a year to be able to go and fund that. And I understand his desire. Surely it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's doing something. Yes, it's doing something. But go ahead.
But if you want to make sure that it would work the most, Please don't put the officer in uniform. Mm-hmm. Please have them blend in. You know, have them pose as a staff member in the school or the PE coach or something that's there, mm-hmm. and so that they'll be readily available if, in fact, there's an attack. That's costly, though, and obviously the person, you know, isn't primarily trained to be a teacher or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would just go and take, you know, the teachers that are there and train them to be able to go and handle the situation.
John, let's talk about the AR, whether it's Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, our own president when he was a senator. You know, they cheered that they had, you know, led the charge to ban the use of AR rifles. Explain, as you did to the committee, what an AR is, though it may, you know, the perception because of movies and that looks very threatening, but basically it's really no different than the handguns that are being used today that are available. So, you know, again, it's this perception versus reality. Explain to our audience what an AR is all about.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a semi-automatic rifle, and it functions identically to any small-caliber semi-automatic hunting rifle, which is the vast majority of hunting rifles out there. You know, one pull of the trigger, one bullet comes out, it reloads itself, one pull of the trigger, one bullet comes out, and so on. You know, about 85-87% of the guns in the country are semi-automatic guns of various types. And, you know, the thing is, it may look like a military weapon, and surely President Biden and Democrats will constantly talk about it being a weapon of war, but it's not. Even the Associated Press last year came out in its style book and said that you shouldn't call these assault weapons or weapons of war, that there's no military around the world that uses these types of semi-automatic rifles that are there. Mm-hmm. But look, civilians benefit from having semi-automatic guns. If you're talking about banning all semi-automatic rifles, what's the alternative? The alternative is a manually loaded rifle where you have to physically, after you fire a round, have to physically put another round in the chamber yourself. But that takes time. So if you're a civilian and you have to fire multiple shots because there are multiple attackers, or you fire and miss, or you fire and wound and don't incapacitate the attacker, you may not have the luxury of time to manually reload your gun to fire a second shot.
Exactly. And how often would the attacker have a semi-automatic weapon and then you'd be sitting there with a single shotgun to defend yourself? How fair is that?
I mean, you can look at Mexico. Since 1972, the most powerful gun you've been able to buy in Mexico is a 22 caliber short round bolt action rifle. and yet Mexico's murder rates more than doubled since 72.
Got to leave it there. Go to the Crime Prevention Network and check it out for yourself, Dr. John Locke.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've been hearing Dr.